Sheena's always kind of chosen men where it's like she's going to be the one who kind of wears the pants in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Definitely with Shay.
I hope she's not mad at me for saying this.
Coming up on the Vanderpump Rules after show.
But why don't you talk to Brittany? Why don't you talk to her?
Because I don't like you.
She just abandoned her after the fact that we didn't go to Stassi and Beau's wedding. That bothers me.
The reason they were so pissed is because you canceled last second.
You've been the other woman in a f-ing relationship.
You dumb.
Hell no!
You are not going to try and deflect here for 1 second. You are not going to try and compare me to you.
The last 3 years, you haven't checked in on me and my wife. You wrote me off.
I had Cruz, didn't hear a word from her. She never checked on me throughout my entire pregnancy.
Brock and I have just been, like, at each other's throats lately.
Whenever they fight, it's always about her mom.
The moms are overbearing as f***. But Brock also needs to be grateful.
This is not a midlife crisis. This is a midlife revival.
Brock, some people might say those shoes are a midlife crisis.
The Vanderpump Rules After Show starts right now.
So I'm sure Jax told you he got in a fight with Katie.
He did tell me, and I was upset because I was like, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you? Because I don't like confrontation and stuff. So,
well,
like,
you would have hated this then.
Yeah.
What are you on about? Because I took a picture with a female?
Like, the internet talks about you.
The internet talks about you too.
Like, I get that he might be taken up for me or whatever, but like, I didn't ask him to do that.
You better believe I went off on her. But why don't you talk to Brittany? Why don't you talk to her?
Because I don't like you.
My wife's out there so always trying to rack her brain. Why is Katie mad at me? For her not to respond to her texts or messages, it hurt her. Like, she was a big part of her life. And the fact that she just abandoned her after the fact that we didn't go to Stassi and Beau's wedding, that you just wrote her off, that bothers me. You have no part of that situation. So you're mad just to be mad, or just because you're up Stassi's ass? One of the two. That's the only two reasons I can think of.
Dude, it's a $10,000. That's like a f***ing expensive trip, man. You guys, like, were not, you guys had just gotten off the show.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. We just got off the show. I don't know where money's coming in. Just had a child.
The reason they were so pissed is because you canceled last second.
We were all planning to go to Italy. We were making plans and arrangements and all of that. And I remember Stassi and I were talking to Brittany for the longest time about all that. And she was very, like, sort of, like, avoiding the questions and didn't really want to, like, get involved in, like, the planning of it all. But she would still. She would get excited and talk about it. But then right up until, like, the days before, she became, like, very, like, avoidant of it all. So then the morning that we're all supposed to go to Italy, Brittany sends a message saying, oh my God, we're not going to be able to make it. We didn't get the passport in time. Like, yada, yada, yada. Let's just, like, just excuse.
I wasn't trying to cancel. Like, even I wasn't going to go because my son didn't have a passport. We thought we're going to get the expedited passport from Cruz. It didn't come in time. So I said, you know what? Somebody from our family needs to be at this wedding. So Brittany, why don't you call your mom? You guys go. I'll stay back. And then when Brittany's mom's best friend's husband died, it was just like, you know, it's not in the cards for us to go.
There was, like, group chats where Jax was, like, very openly talking about how, like, they're not going to that wedding. They got a golf tournament that they're doing instead. It was just, like, very kind of rude the way he was just speaking so freely to other people, not thinking, like, that it would get back to either of them.
Did I handle it wrong? Absolutely. I handled it completely wrong. And I apologize. I made a mistake. Is it a reason to squash and ruin a whole friendship over? I don't think so. You know, I don't know what else I can do. I beg, I plead.
I just feel like it was just so many lies. And I don't like lies. I f***ing hate lies, man. Like, nothing more than that. So I'm just like, you know, I need a break. I need a little break, Ski. And also, like, Jax has just been such a f***ing asshole. Like, to me, for no reason. Like, I think one time Tom accidentally posted, like, the name of their kid. And, like, he didn't talk to him for, like, months. And then he decided not to talk to me. I got roped into it somehow while I was throwing Brittany's baby shower. Like, I had literally nothing to do with it. He just is such a f***ing asshole. I was just ready for, like, a break. And so it didn't mean for it to be permanent. Brittany texted me once, asked me how the move was going. I didn't get around to texting her back. But that was the last I heard from her. I never heard from her. She never asked me, like, how's divorce? Like, never checked in on me, never once asked me anything. So I was like, you know, I'm good on you.
She says Brittany hasn't reached out. And I'm like, she did reach out while you were moving and asked if you need help. And she'll say, like, need help with what? And I'm like, well, then you can't say she didn't reach out because she did. Like, you don't get to decide how and when and what people say when they reach out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sometimes hard to gauge with Katie because you're like, how do I approach this? Should I reach out? And if I reach out, like, is the timing okay?
Yeah.
Is what I said okay?
And
it
just started
very intimidating.
Yeah, and very intimidating. And I feel like she was the matron of honor in my wedding. Like, I love her so much. I still have a lot of love for her. But it's just, like, crazy how we just, like, don't even talk anymore.
I remember at the time she was, like, really sad about the whole thing. I forget, we were at like Dave and Buster's for something. Was it Janet's birthday? Like, Janet's like the Dave and Buster's mm-hmm. queen. But like, I remember we were all together and she was really upset. I just remember her being really sad about it. But then I feel like, did you guys ever talk after this situation where he like yelled?
No.
Oh.
No, and I know they did like a watch thing for the show. She goes, oh my God, I didn't know Katie was going through all this.
I don't have any like hate or anything for her. It's just, it's so weird seeing all this because I didn't know how she was feeling through all this. So it really kind of makes me sad.
Could have picked up the phone then. She could have picked the phone at any point. But then there's, you know, a sweaty f***ing dude in my face just screaming at me like I'm the worst person on the planet. And I'm good on both of them.
Wild.
Like they can have their time.
Sandoval decided to bring out the history books, and he said, you were the other woman in a relationship.
He's gonna go and compare something I did when I was 21 and unaware that this person was in a relationship when I was very single and 21 to something he did while in a relationship and 41. That's what we're gonna compare to. It was just the most absurd argument. It infuriated the shit out of me.
Dude, you've been the other woman in a f***ing relationship.
No, you hell me. No! You.
You have
when
though.
When I was 21 years old in 2006.
And you f***ed it. You still did it.
I didn't know he was married.
You
f***ing.
I'm just like, what is wrong with you?
Grabbing straws, just reaching, reaching, reaching.
Yeah.
Trust me, she doesn't need to be reminded of what happened in that relationship with something like that. And I know that that hit her hard because she still thinks that.
That's literally something that I've been trying to get away from since, what, 2007? I was already falling for this guy. He told me he was separated from his wife, and I believed him. I mean, I'm still this girl. And I'm like, so that's how you see me? When you know the story, you know what happened. I didn't cheat on anyone. I was lied to. I was 21. I didn't Google anyone. I didn't know what IMDb was. I didn't even know who he was. He was an actor in LA who was cute with dimples.
I mean, what I did was horrible. Of course it was. There's no getting away from that. But it's just like the acting like I murdered somebody and like whatever, just it was, to me, it seemed a little too over the top. And I think what really like bothered me about it is that the piling on with this group of friends was so relentless, and like they were definitely the ones like spearheading that in a lot of ways.
I get like you're doing podcasts for money, but like at a certain point it's like too much.
None of us are getting any closure, so I wrote a song about it.
I remember when that went down with Sheena and she told me about it, and like, yeah, it was a long-ass time ago, but I never gave her any shit about it.
You are not gonna try and deflect here for one second. You are not gonna try and compare me to you. Apple, orange. Also, download apples. You might like it.
I didn't never judge. I just was like, Sheena, like that. I know it's different. It's a different thing. I just know personally, I will never be able to like give anybody shit about doing that. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's 15 years from now.
That's just another example of Tom not like considering other people's feelings and stuff like that. You know, Sheena has been through it with him and this whole situation. You know, she didn't ask to wake up and have Sandoval taken away from her, you know, as a friend. Unexpected. Not to mention, you know, she was like besties with the other girl that he's parading around as well. So it was just so, it's a bit, it's a tad embarrassing. And then she has to lose a friend. I mean, like, I would have just been livid. I mean, I was livid. It all just happened so quickly. I mean, that night at Tom Tom, I showed up and everyone looked at me like I was a ghost. Like, everyone was scared to tell me what happened that night. And no one did. Can you believe that? Even Schwartz said hi to me. No one said anything to me. I went home. Then I got home, texted Tom saying, missed you, bro, at Tom Tom. And then I'm like, in bed now, good night. And then I woke up to, he's dead to me. And I'm like, who, Ariana? And she's like, Sandoval. And I was like, what?
But it all happened. Anyway, sorry, I made it about me. But she's being a good friend to Tom still, but really she doesn't have to be. And then here's Tom being a fucking dickhead still.
Jax, you went to Sir and had a conversation with Lisa.
Yeah.
And she was upset that you had said that she was superfluous.
By the superfluous. Way, that, first of all, you guys know me pretty well. Even you guys behind the scenes know me very well. Do you think that word is even remotely near my vocabulary?
Here you are on a podcast saying, Lisa's a prop, she's not needed, she's superfluous. That's what you said, superfluous.
I don't even know what that word means.
Oh, come on, Jax, grow up.
I can't even pronounce the word. First of all, that word is nowhere near this brain.
Superfluous, it's the name of Jax's band, Superfluous.
Yeah, I was a little upset because I think, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but I was in this from the beginning, and I think I helped create a masterpiece. That's what I call the show. I really think it is.
This is why my show is successful. This is
actually not your show, it's actually my show.
She was a huge figure in my life. I mean, I spent over a decade of my life with you. I've had heart-to-hearts with you. I've been over your house crying. You've been crying to me, okay? When you had issues on Housewives, you would come to me and say, you're the only one I could talk to. Like, we had some moments. I just felt like I didn't mean anything to her. I felt like I was just like that. The last 3 years, you haven't checked in on me and my wife. You wrote me off. It didn't bother me so much as like after the show. It's like after I had my son. I'm bringing a child into this world, which a lot of people never thought that was gonna happen. Not even a phone call, not a congratulations, nothing. I don't even care if you didn't want to meet, not even to my wife, who's been so nice to you. I don't understand, so it bothered me.
I've always looked up to her, but while we were on the show, she always acted like she was a mother figure to us, and especially to Jax. I mean, they were extremely close. And then we're off the show, and it just kind of felt like she didn't care about us anymore. Like, never reached out to us, never talked to us, never seeing if we were okay. I had crews, didn't hear a word from her. She never checked on me throughout my entire pregnancy. And I had a very tough pregnancy. I was sick 24/7, but never heard a word from her. And then I had the baby. 8 weeks later, we did get a gift from her, but we never heard anything before that.
All I needed was a congratulations. I don't need gifts or anything. And as soon as I called that out, literally within hours, a package showed up my door. A gift for Cruz and all that, and said, oh, I was sending it. I just thought it was a little, it hurt my feelings. And I wasn't trying to belittle Lisa.
Jax Taylor's been so disrespectful to me publicly.
What's the point of Lisa on the show anymore?
Just to be there, sit next to Andy. I think she's a prop at this point.
Like, I just almost kind of like, I was shaking my head, like, how dare you? How dare you? I've given my soul, my heart to the show. It bothered me. And then, you know, God forbid, we don't text her right away when Ken fell off the horse or something like that. Something happened where Ken got hurt.
I did reach out to her whenever she got in her horse accident.
And did she respond?
Yeah, she was like, thank you so much. I miss you, but I miss you guys. Like, she'll say stuff like that. And, like, Cruz doesn't get invited to, like, Pandora's birthday parties and stuff.
Oh, really?
It's just very odd to me.
Have you talked to her since that day?
No. Not because I don't want to. Not because of anything like going on, but now I'm open to it now because we squashed it. She's busy, we're busy. I don't go to the Hollywood that much either, so I don't make myself, you know, available for her to see me or anything like that, so.
Are you gonna ask for your job back at Sir?
what? but no, but I mean, hopefully
awesome,
we squashed it. I think we did. I think we had a little bit of a heart to heart.
Yeah.
You know, she said what she needed to say, I said what I needed to say, and I think, you know, we moved past it like adults.
What are the telltale signs of a man in his midlife crisis?
New car, young chick, and either you are doing something drastic like that with your hair or you're like heavily working out, trying to get in the best 41-year-old shape of your life.
I got a tattoo.
Are you gonna get tatted up?
Hell no.
What?
This is not a midlife crisis. This is a midlife revival.
It's like kind of like a trashy midlife crisis.
We've only seen Schwartz get a tattoo in times of crisis.
I'm f***ed up. I had to go get LVP tattooed on my ass.
Oh, my God.
Or following Sandoval's lead.
You got the word Bubba on your ass. If you go to jail, you're
I got one, too.
Wow. What?
Ooh.
You got really a tattoo, bad. Too?
What?
Which is crisis.
It's a nice midlife crisis to have, though. You know what I mean? Like, you're newly single, you're ready to mingle, and you just dyed your hair bleach blonde. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a
with
full
a good
send.
Tan. It's a full send.
Jax, have you had a midlife crisis?
Not yet.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Maybe Jax has been doing it for like a minute. You know, it just like pops in and pops out.
Jax does have his like muscle cars and stuff, but he's always kind of had that stuff. So I can't really think if it's like
that's just called Michigan.
True.
I'm just trying to keep my marriage intact right now. So.
Were any of the Valley guys having a midlife crisis?
Probably Jesse.
Probably Jesse.
I was filming mid-scene while bidding on a 1960s Jaguar convertible.
I can't tell if he has a midlife crisis or he's like upset that he's kind of short. He might just have little man syndrome, is what my dad calls
it. Oh my God.
Don't you think
you.
He's so small?
He is small.
And he's got these little narrow shoulders.
How do you even notice that?
Because the first thing I do, that is my mom. My mom always looks at men's shoulders.
One of the sexiest things about Jax to me is like how wide and big he is like up here.
Let me tell you something. A man that's wide up here with the thick neck, I will climb you like a f***ing tree.
Yes, yummy.
Bumping all.
Let's put an age on my midlife crisis, right? It would be like 53, 55. Like, it's a late bloomer. It's not Schwartz at 40. Okay? I'm gonna hope to go to, like, Bali and find myself before then.
I think if I went for a midlife crisis, I would just be straight to the... I'll be out on a ranch just figuring that out, you know?
Brock, some people might say those shoes are a midlife crisis.
Yo, the... Hey, listen, you know what? I have a full respect for the heel game now. Like, for my wife, I started with, like, a little heel. I think it's more of, like, people are like, what the hell am I wearing? It's like, well, you know what? I enjoy it. I like it. This is not my midlife crisis. This is too good to be a midlife crisis, you know? I'm wearing a see-through thing with a tank top on top. I'm, like, trying to give it a go.
I know. Are you performing with Ariana in Chicago
I would be there. If I could sing, I would project.
You would honestly kill it in Chicago. I'm sorry, but f***ing Brock as Roxy. Like, I mean, like, I need that.
Oh, that'd be great.
First man to do it, and I'm putting money on it. I swear, like, I'm sorry, I can see it for real. That's not even a joke. And that's a compliment.
I love it. I'm here for it.
You're killing it. Killing
Thanks,
it.
Baby.
You and Sheena discuss being the breadwinners in a relationship.
So me and Jax have gone through this, actually, whenever we were not on Vanderpump Rules anymore, and the roles kind of flipped. I was definitely making more money, and I could tell that it just hurt Jax's ego. And being an alpha male like Brock is and Jax is, I think that could be hard because they feel like the man is supposed to be there, but I definitely see how that affects their egos.
But the hardest part is knowing that I'm not bringing home the money anymore. And I think it adds so much tension to Sheena and I because, like, she's providing for the whole family. She's the main breadwinner.
I feel like Sheena's always kind of chosen men where it's like, I'm the alpha. Mm-hmm.
Definitely with Shay.
Yeah, and other men that she's, like, dated, it's like she's going to be the one who kind of wears the pants in the relationship, mm-hmm. and you're going to be the one that's kind of running around and catering to Sheena's needs. Mm-hmm. I hope she's not mad at me for saying this. But I think if Brock had somewhere to be every day, a job, especially his own business where it's like very demanding and all hours, I think that would kind of throw Sheena off her rocker a bit.
Well, then they'd really realize how like valuable Erica is.
When I met Brock, he had a flexible schedule. He worked full-time. He was at the gym every day, but he kind of made his own hours. That's kind of the lifestyle we've built together, is being very flexible and being there for each other. If all of a sudden he had like a 40 to 60 hour work week and was traveling for work all of the time, like, no, I actually don't want that. I love that we're able to work together so much.
She depends on Brock for a lot, yeah. which is beautiful. Yeah. I think that's how a relationship is supposed to work. Yeah. You
do things for each other.
Yeah, shift dependency. Mm-hmm. But I think that would knock her a loop. Being like, wait, you can't bring the drums for the 27s for me to play Good as Gold tonight?
It's not like Brock's just like sitting home baking cookies or something. Like, he's
out here grinding. He's hustling.
He's trying.
You know, he's doing. He's always talking about business when you're with him.
People seem to think he is this terrible person who's like just living off me. I'm like, first of all, he is the hardest worker out of any person I've ever been with in my life. Like, he does so much. He is so ambitious. He is so driven.
It's tough, but it's also very, very fortunate to be able to have an opportunity to try and figure it out.
Where do you see yourself going? Like, what industry do you think you're gonna land in?
TV, production, movies, it's Hollywood, right? And it's what we're in the room for. We're meeting these people. So I think it would be I'll be a fool not to try and capitalize on this opportunity and figure out how it works. It's very interesting. And to meet the team and to see everything that goes on with all of it, it was completely out of when I grew up on a dairy farm hanging out with my pig farmer's girlfriend.
My first love was the farmer's daughter that lived next door. A pig farmer.
He has two shows that he's developing right now, and it's like, this is going to be it. He is always thinking steps ahead. What's next? How can I bring in an income for this family? But at the same time, the fact that he's able to be with Summer as much as he is, and he's so good with her and works on letters and numbers and sounds and all of these things, it's not like he's just sitting at home watching f***ing Disney. Support comes in more ways than just financial. It doesn't matter who's making the money. We're a team at the end of the day. And there may be a day when it completely changes, you know, and the roles reverse. And sure, the checks may come paid to my business, LLC, but he's a part of that, and it's our life together. I just got a prenup this time around, just because, you know, and just in case.
I'm hesitant to leave Hippie because, you know, as much as I want to trust someone and work on that, he's a new dog. He's been going through a lot of trauma in the last 6 months. Apparently, he was going to be euthanized days after I even got hold of him. I just didn't want him to be scared. I didn't want him to think, here's dad, and then here he is leaving me again for four f***ing days.
I want to go to the wedding.
Let me text people from Vanderpump Dogs. Let me try. But if not, I mean, if I...
What is it? You just don't trust, like, anyone else to watch him?
As much as I wanted to go to the wedding, it's like, he is my priority right now. He's my responsibility, my priority. God gave him back to me. So look, like, there's nothing really I can do here. I'm trying to be a good dad. Sometimes life throws you those types of hurdles where it's like, oh, okay, now I have to make a choice, right? I mean, it caused a lot of arguments with Ali and I, like, on and off camera, pretty much, like, and mostly off camera.
Did she want a dog?
I don't know. They have one now.
Let them have a moment. Let them have a moment.
No, I don't like it.
It's okay, it's okay.
I'm worried about his behavior.
He doesn't hold on. He just nips.
No, that can't happen.
No, that's not gonna happen, and nor do I want the cats to scratch him.
In our relationship, exes are very much a part of our past, not our present. So if you
brought
a dog that you had with your ex into the relationship, Daniel would never do that.
Yeah.
If for some reason that was something that's like a possibility, we would have a full conversation. Yeah. He would not just show up.
It would need to be a larger conversation in my household the ex thing wouldn't bother me. It'd be bringing an animal home. Especially, Allie has cats. She's a cat.
Right.
She's a cat lady. But Jason and I are friendly with our exes.
That's
friendly.
Nice.
Happy birthday. Happy holidays.
Oh, really?
Like, he's hooked up with Sheena before. Like,
when I found that out, I was shocked.
I didn't know that.
Yes. I didn't know that.
It's like, you don't buy a car or bring home an animal. There's, like, certain things you, like, run by your spouse.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And a dog, you gotta walk them a couple times a day. Yeah. Like, it's a lot of work. You can't just pick up and travel.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having a kid.
I mean, look. It's really hard, you know? And it's like something I still struggle with. But we worked it out. We worked it out. I had to give them to the people. And they were amazing. They're from, they're from far away. Norway, okay? Call it Norway. And they watched him so well. But you know what? It was tough because they would FaceTime me sometimes and like, he's not going for a walk. He's not gonna eat, you know? Great, now I'm in a wedding in Ohio. I'm miles away. I can't do much now, can I? Now's not the time, please. So much stress, dude. So stressful. And I know it sounds stupid, but it really was. We figured out the sleeping situation.
That's not good for our relationship if I just start getting comfortable sleeping in the guest room just so I can sleep with the cats, and then it's 5 years later and we're
But then we're never going to be able to all cuddle. We're never going to all be able to cuddle. Look, Ali and I would always fall asleep in the same bed. She would wake up and go to the guest room, okay? But anyway, apart from that, sleeping situation's really good now, okay? And we can even have Hippie and Banks in the cats in the same room. Like, Hippie will go up to them and rub up against him. Like, it's crazy, yeah? At night, we still keep them separate just because I don't think it's gonna be Banks and Hippie in the bed, but Hippie always sleeps like down on the side, either by me or Ali, and she sleeps like, he sleeps with Ali sometimes, like most nights. And that was Banks's spot, you know, but maybe in the morning Banks can come in, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to cuddle in the morning too, so like I could do with like the cats outside the room and the dogs outside the room, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a morning guy, just kidding. But,
dogs.
Oh my God, she's gonna kill me.
Brittany, Sheena opened up to you about some struggles that she and Brock were facing last summer.
I've obviously been around them many, many times. And it's not like they're always fighting or anything around me, but when they do, it seems like it's about
the same thing.
Yeah.
Brock and I have just been like at each other's throats lately.
I know for a fact we need to have a nanny to help Erica because Erica's not fully available and that's okay.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want a stranger in the house. She doesn't want a stranger taking care of her kid. Yeah. But I need somebody in the house so that I can step away to go fill my cup.
Whenever they fight, it's always about her mom. And whenever I was over there, I just wanted to make sure that, like, they realize, like, how lucky they are that they have a grandmother who is right there, able to watch their kid whenever they want, like, they're 24/7. Because my mom was all the way back in Kentucky. I had to find a babysitter who I finally trust when Cruz was, like, a year and a half old. So we had nobody. It was just me and Jax 24/7.
It's like a double-edged sword because mm-hmm. having the moms around is, like, amazing. But it's also very intense because they're mama bears, but over their grandbabies, it's like a whole different, yeah. Like, I'll talk about going to dinner with a dude, and my mom immediately is like, and where does the ocean fit into this? And I'm like, calm the f*** down. Like, she fits in every, like, I'm just going to dinner.
Yeah.
You know? So the moms are overbearing as f***. It's a lot. But Brock also needs to be grateful.
Obviously, I understand Sheena's anxiety and OCD with being able to step away from summer is hard because I have some anxiety. When the girls were first born, we had family kind of on rotation coming in. We had aunts and we had my mom and his parents. We had a lot of help. Now we've kind of gone into like a place where we have a nanny a few days a week, a half day, just till 1 p.m. And having that time to be able to like be our own individual humans and get a workout in and do mm-hmm. work and not have to like have a child crawling all over you is yeah. wonderful. And I think for Brock and Sheena, like I think it could be a great thing for their relationship, but just baby steps, I think are gonna be really good for her.
It's a trial and error and it does sometimes take a while. Like it took us a little bit to find the right one, but we've trusted her and she's been with us ever since.
Yeah.
This is gonna sound awful. we arrived in Paris with Isabella, she was one, and we had found somebody on the Facebook nanny group in Paris, never met her, got resume, checked the references, and she got in an accident. So we went to a cafe the first day and the hostess said, oh, how old is she? Oh, she's one, I have a one-year-old. And Michelle was like, do you have a babysitter? She's like, well, my mom's 43, she can watch her. Didn't speak any English and we're like, okay, bye, Isabella. We're leaving you here all week.
We finally have a consistent nanny. Best part is, like, she's her teacher now, so it comes with that tone. Sits down, works with her and stuff. Erica has been around a lot more, but she also has some boundaries there now, which has been great. As I see the changes that's made in our family with Sheena also setting boundaries, and Erica respecting those boundaries a little bit more. It's taken a minute to get us there, and I know Erica doesn't like it sometimes, but she gives us space, and she kind of lets us breathe a little bit, which is what I was asking for. So we're good.